For as long as Azure's been around, which is 15 years as of this year, Microsoft and AWS have been competing. Sure, AWS is bigger and has been at cloud computing longer, but the Azure team has continued nipping at their heels, announcing price cuts and new services, which AWS consistently counter-announces against. But now we're in the AI era, which is different, I think. Microsoft has more mind share, maybe, and market share, possibly. Azure and AWS are vying to sign up all the right AI darlings as partners. And now Microsoft has started deploying Anthropic models, which AWS was doing already. And AWS recently announced a multi-billion dollar, multi-year partnership with OpenAI, Microsoft's key AI partner. So, my question. Is there any competitive advantage for one of these hyperscalers over the other anymore? Or are we in a world where AI has commoditized the cloud? Welcome to the Directions on Microsoft Briefing podcast. I am Mary Jo Foley, the editor-in-chief here at Directions. I am your host for the series of podcasts for those interested in the Microsoft Enterprise IT ecosystem. We have two great guests today to discuss Azure AWS commoditization. Corey Quinn is here today. He's the chief cloud economist at Duckbill, where he specializes in helping companies improve their AWS bills by making them smaller and less horrifying, as he likes to say. And we've got Directions analyst Wes Miller, who covers Microsoft security, identity management, and systems management technologies. He previously worked at Microsoft as a program manager in the Windows Core Operating System division and for Winternal Software, which was acquired by Microsoft in 2006. Hi, guys. Thank you for being on the podcast today.
Thank you for having us. It's always a pleasure for me to indulge my ongoing love affair with the sound of my own voice.
Indeed. Thank you very much, Mary Jo.
All right, Corey, we're going to put you on the hot seat just right out of the gate. We know you just got back from AWS reInvent. Wes and I attended Ignite, but virtually. So both shows, of course, were heavily focused on AI agents and bears. Oh, my. Do either of you think there's still a substantial difference in how AWS and Microsoft are approaching the AI space right now? Or are they basically doing the same thing? What do you say, Corey?
Their approach to it has been largely yes. They are launching their own models. They are signing deals with the other folks. And we see the financial Ouroboros as NVIDIA starts doing some things that look not too dissimilar from what MCI WorldCom did once upon a time of financing partners and customers so they could afford to spend more with them. And 2026 to 2027 is going to be really interesting in that space. But as far as capabilities go, if I had to pick a provider that had differentiated capabilities out of the hyperscalers, I'd say Google these days.
Interesting.
Okay, yeah, hold that thought. Wes?
Oh, I just think I agree with Corey. I think it's an interesting space. Everybody's sort of evened out at this point. So it's we'll see where they go from here.
Yeah, it really does feel like that. Like even today, there was a big announcement about an agentic AI foundation. And I'm like, yeah, AWS is there, Google's there, Microsoft's there. What's the difference, right? Everybody's there. Okay, so what do you guys think of my initial hypothesis I started out with, which is, are the two cloud platforms basically commoditized now because of AI or in spite of AI? Or are there still some actual distinct reasons a customer should go with AWS or Azure? Corey, you want to start?
Oh, well, I'm not going to win friends on this. generally between 5 to 7% of company infrastructure spend as a ballpark direction among my customer base is where AI spend is going. That still leaves a massive majority of things that are, how do I put this, not ridiculous when it comes to the care and feeding of their ongoing business needs. Azure remains the less expensive option generally because their historical security has been so weak that you can just run stuff in other people's accounts and it's hard to cost optimize beyond that. Whereas AWS has sort of been competing heavily with Azure in both of them in the space of how can we give something a worse name for a product? Azure DevOps was a close contender. Systems Manager, Session Manager came in clutch. And honestly, everyone is just confused now. They're both saying the same things, but if you remove the names and any of the identifying specifics, you can't pick up the difference between one to the other in terms of feature approaches. Infrastructure reliability, yes, there are differences. Ability to put workloads where customers want, obvious differences. Ability to reach out as an annoying customer and get attention from these providers, there's some differentiation there. But my advice remains the same as it has been since I started. Pick a horse, go all in. I don't particularly care which one you pick. I'm not a partisan here.
Mm. Wes.
Yeah, I definitely think we're still at the point where most companies are spending so much on things that aren't AI, you know, the I hate the term, but the table stakes that they've been spending on for the last 15 years in Azure. And that's the same in Azure, Google, AWS. And I think we're still at this early stage where companies are dabbling in AI. So the amount they're spending is small. But to me, it doesn't make sense to pick a partner for AI that's not your cloud partner. If you're already betting big on Azure, keep going with Azure. If you're already invested deeply in one of the other two, go with AWS or go with Google Cloud.
Okay. Well, Corey broached the G word, Google, and I have a question there. I always feel like industry watchers are quick to dismiss Google in the cloud wars. They're always like, Google, a distant number three, right? But I wonder if AI has changed this dynamic. I noticed at reInvent, AWS and Google announced a big networking partnership. I don't know if it was just for show or it has teeth, but what do you guys think of Google these days? Are they more of a competitor because of AI? Who wants to start on that one?
Wes, why don't you take this one to start? I've started the last few, and otherwise it sounds like I'm just backing you into a corner here.
It's okay. I appreciate it. I think when you look at Google, to me, we always approach everything, you know, I see it from a different perspective as Corey does because of what our businesses each focus on. And so we innately wind up talking to customers. AWS is sort of the second thing we talk about, even though a lot of them are much more deeply invested in AWS. Microsoft is, let's just say, encouraging them to look at Azure for more and more investments over time. But Google, I think, still keeps coming up. And I keep hearing Google, you know, at the platform layer, I don't hear Google a lot still. I think they're getting mind share in the AI platform space. But to me, things like Gemini, you know, at the higher level are getting more mind share than, for example, Microsoft's, you know, cavalcade of copilots, which has just been so confusing. Customers don't know what anything's called anymore. So I think we're almost at a point where Google may have a different advantage than the other two. And so we'll have to sort of see where that plays out over the next year or two.
I wholeheartedly agree on that. But one nuance I would put in there is everyone is in bed with Microsoft, whether they want to be or not, for Office 365 purposes, for Windows purposes. Every company of any size has that, has agreements there. Absolutely. And how does that parlay into Azure adoption? Even my customers don't really know how much they're spending on Azure versus the rest of Microsoft. It's extremely unclear. When you approach it from a pure cloud infrastructure perspective for workloads that are internet facing, I see GCP more than I see Azure. And I think that's going to continue to be a large sweeping trend. Even putting AI to the side, I don't know what AI is going to look like in 10 years, but I promise you, we are still going to be running databases badly. We're still going to need web servers that serve web. There's compute, storage, networking. Those things are not going away. Trying to say, oh, well, that's legacy stuff. Maybe, but mainframes are still here however many decades later, too.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Very true. All right. I'm going to take this opportunity to take a break so I can talk about why you should make it a priority in 2026 to go to one of the Directions on Microsoft licensing and negotiation boot camps. And not just because Wes is going to be there. That's a good reason, but not the only reason. As of November 1st, 2025, Microsoft eliminated tiered volume discounts for online services in the EA and Microsoft Customer Agreement, or MCA. So if you're not prepared for this, this change means you're going to face a potential 6 to 12% price increase just on your core Microsoft Cloud services like Microsoft 365, Azure, and Dynamics. So what's your best defense? You need to invest in your Microsoft licensing expertise. If you go to our next in-person Directions on Microsoft Licensing and Contract Negotiation Bootcamp, it's going to be in Los Angeles, February 3rd to 5th, 2026. You should send your IT procurement and ITAM leaders there to learn how to deal with these new Microsoft licensing realities. You'll learn things like how to control your Azure consumption costs so you can cut your largest Microsoft cloud spend. We'll help you master the strict licensing rules for high-cost products like Copilot and Microsoft 365 add-ons. We'll help you figure out how not to overbuy while maximizing your ROI. If you want to get your spot secured today, go to directionsonmicrosoft.com/training. You'll get to talk to Dean, Wes, and our other directions for licensing experts there. And if you can't make LA, we are going to do boot camps in person in Washington, D.C. and Chicago next year. So make sure you join us. Corey, you should join us.
I'm sorely tempted. The thing is that I can do Google negotiation and AWS negotiation, and I do a lot. When it comes to the Microsoft stuff, I tap out because I'm not an auditor, I'm not an attorney, and I know you folks. It is easier to tag you folks in. So much of it is down to license interpretation and auditability. I used to be a Windows admin once upon a time, and I got out of it because I couldn't stand the license audit gotcha stories. It drives me nuts. I'm not constitutionally suited for it, and I know you folks. Why would I possibly want to do it myself?
We feel your pain.
You can still come and hold our hands. That would be good.
Yes, I will wrap whatever it is you're talking about. Why not? Everyone loves that.
Nice. All right, let's go back to the Corey and Wes show, all about Azure and AWS. So when we're talking about competitive advantage, one place that Microsoft seems very focused, understandably, is the enterprise beachhead it has with Copilot. So I'm curious, do you guys think this gives them an advantage or a disadvantage, or is it just impossible to tell with their underlying AI platform on Azure? Anyone have thoughts there? Wes, Corey?
I think my personal opinion is that it's not an advantage. You might think it would be, but I think it's a lot to do with the confusing branding and the fact that the branding within the platform space and the branding within Microsoft 365 really don't feed off of each other. There's no virtuous cycle getting organizations to say, you know what, this is built on that great platform in Azure. We should be using that too. Mm-hmm. So I think they're sort of missing the boat with that opportunity. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out, but I don't think that's going to change until they realize that there's sort of that loop that they need to close.
Yeah, the branding is a complete mess. I mean, every company is doing this right now, it seems. Everything is Gemini over on the Google side, and everything is Amazon Q over in AWS land. But on the Microsoft side, it is so invasive, which tells me that it's a push motion rather than a pull, which says a lot. I mean, it's effectively, what if Microsoft Clippy came back, only now he's been reading your mail? It's not a great customer experience. It historically, compared to the other models, it's always felt a little bit more paternalistic. Rather than let me help you with the thing that you're doing, it takes an approach of, clearly you don't know how to write, let me do it for you, which personally, I find insulting.
So do we. That's right.
Yeah, you're not alone, Corey. I saw a similar piece of feedback on Blue Sky, someone basically saying the exact same thing over the weekend. They kept a thread of 10 things that Clippy did that were annoying over the weekend, which is not a great thing to see.
Yeah, it's just insulting because there are things that computers can do that we do. And there are things that we do that computers have not yet figured out the way to do this. So the question you really have here is, what are the differentiators between you and AI, both today and where it's going? Well, there are some answers to that, but none of them involve, and then I've abdicated that whole pesky thinking thing to the computer.
Right. Great. I think the tone thing too, right? Like that Microsoft struggled with this and they all do, but even back to, you know, the old Cortana and before that Bob, right? Like trying to make it not sound condescending when they're trying to quote help. That's tough.
All right. Oh my God. Yes. It's like a Google employee came to life.
All right. There was an interesting interview at reInvent, the acquired podcast team did with AWS's CEO, Matt Garman. By the way, if you don't know about the acquired podcast, those guys, they know how to get people talking. I got interviewed by them and I said, way too much when I was talking to them, but it was fun. So Matt Garman said a couple interesting things during this podcast. First, he said, Bedrock is a multi-billion dollar business already. So When I think of Bedrock, I think of it roughly as the equivalent of what Microsoft now calls Microsoft Foundry. You should be Azure AI Foundry, probably had 10 other names before that. And it's where developers can choose from different AI models and develop apps and agents. So the information reported recently, Microsoft's struggling to get customers to see value of Foundry. So I wonder, which is it? Are agent factories, as Microsoft calls them, a real thing? Are they an aspirational thing or not even a thing? What do you think, Corey?
I can guess. I do know that by and large, I see customer adoption of Bedrock being fairly high. I have one particular customer that I talk to, though, that spends more on Anthropic directly than they do on AWS. And for their business, it makes sense. But that is very much an outlier. I want to be clear on this. I use it myself for a bunch of weird things. But I don't see that... right now saying that, oh, it's a multi-billion dollar business. Great. Your AWS is a $132 billion business annually run rate right now. So, okay, great. It's one, like the service we talk about exhaustingly and does have a lot of value is now over 1-2% of our annual revenue. It's good for you. You're beating out of a long tail of services that are not that. AWS Config was trying hard, but couldn't make it. I mean, what's the point there?
Yeah. Wes, thoughts?
Oh, I totally agree. I think they're both trying to get they're slowly beating the drum louder and louder in order to try and get attention for their platform. And I think, you know, it's so small in the grand scheme of things when you look at what the rest of the platform does and really what the rest of customers are doing with that platform, that it's odd that we wind up having to spend so much time looking at it and watching it and analyzing it closely, given the space it's in right now.
It's true.
Yeah, we've heard a few tea leaves here. And for all we know, because he was speaking off the cuff and depending on phrasing, he could have just said it's a multi-billion dollar business to run. I mean, babbling about it every chance you get in every corner. I mean, yeah, that takes serious marketing dollars.
It does. Yeah, I don't know. I really feel like when Microsoft stopped talking on their earnings call about what percentage of our Azure revenue is actually attributable to AI, whenever they stop giving those numbers, there's a reason, right? And I think they were like, yeah, we probably shouldn't tell people what that percentage is, right?
Well, I also don't trust any number you'll give me. It's you take this idea that, oh yeah, X percent of our revenue comes from AI services. Well, what the hell does that mean?
Exactly.
I've seen an Amazon job ad historically that listed S3 as an AI service. So if you squint hard enough with AI being shoved into everything, we're not talking apples to apples here. We're wish casting.
Okay, I'm gonna do another Matt Garman thing because that interview was good. If you haven't seen it, GeekWire's got a bunch of excerpts from it. So he said AWS is terrible at being a fast follower, which caught my eye because I always think about Microsoft as doing best as a fast follower instead of best first to market. Like when they were first to market with the OpenAI stuff, I'm like, oh, this doesn't bode well in my view. I think this is going to be bad. So I'm curious if you guys agree. Like, who does it even matter? Who's the fastest or the slowest follower of them all? And where does Amazon and where does Microsoft sit in that world?
It matters this quarter when GPT came out, or Gippity, as I insist on calling it, was released. Yeah, there was nothing quite like it. I spun up an Azure account explicitly to wind up hitting the API. At this point in time, though, let's be realistic here. There is no meaningful difference between the frontier models that I have been able to find. So there's this, I'm in this space now where, great, I'll use whatever is convenient and close and solves my problem the best. If Anthropic goes under, well, Gemini is right there for most use cases. Those have become largely commoditized. So being the first to market with one of these things, okay, maybe it matters to this quarter's numbers, but I don't see that it'll matter a year from now. It's going to be a question of integration, of where I'm already in the ecosystem. If everything else I'm building lives on AWS, I'm not going to want to go cross-cloud to hit some other API provider most of the time.
Right. Yeah, you're going to want to go to a power source that's close to your building. And I totally agree with you, Corey. I think that's the where we're at right now is that things are so commoditized. And I think that's the problem I again see with Microsoft is that they're following, well, they're trying to keep up with everybody else. And we were at such a point where everything's pretty much neutralized. And again, because Copilot isn't tied back together with it really well, they're not winning or losing anything. And I think, again, Copilot's kind of harming their AI story.
Very much so. I think that we're going to see a future where their percentage of the AI market share is just a reflection of the rest of their cloud market share. Because this is where I don't know, 60% of infrastructure lives. Great. That's where 60% of AI spend is going to be as well. Right. There are some inflection points because Amazon doesn't have anything that's customer facing in the general sense that's any good. So, okay. Yeah. There might be an Office 365 uplift if you can ever get it to stop being annoying and start being useful. But that's not going to move the entire universe on its axis. Not the way they're talking about it.
Right. All right, guys, I'm going to close there. And I want to say thank you so much to Corey Quinn for joining us. And Wes, that was a fun conversation. I loved it.
Definitely. Thank you for joining, Corey.
Yes, thank you for your hospitality and, again, indulging my ongoing love affair with the sound of my own voice.
All right. I want to remind our listeners they can find lots more coverage of all things Microsoft related on directionsonmicrosoft.com. Thank you so much for listening. If you have questions, comments, or any topics you would like to hear the Directions analysts and guests cover in one of these podcasts, please do not hesitate to contact me via X or Blue Sky. Directions on Microsoft is on LinkedIn, so make sure you give us a follow there. And give us a follow at DirectionsMSFT on X or Directions on Microsoft on Blue Sky for all of the latest Microsoft Enterprise product and licensing information. Thanks again.